Welcome to the Gene Oliver Podcast, where we talk all things business, art, and lifestyle. This is your podcast for building a more creative life. Creativity is calling. Become the artist you have dreamed to be. After the podcast, meet me over at GeneOliver.com, where you will find art, business, and lifestyle online courses. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Gene Oliver, and today I'm talking with revivalist, visionary, creative, and author Jesse Green. Jesse has impacted my life, and I know that this interview has great purpose for others that are listening. Jesse, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be on with you.
I'm so happy to see your face and to be talking with you this morning. Just for everybody else listening, I recently had the opportunity to teach a live three-hour workshop in North Carolina during Jesse's Saturate event. And so under the huge oak trees, people got their hands dirty, and we talked about the significance of making and how art can be worship. And in the days leading up to me teaching, I was able to hear Jesse speak. I've already shared this with Jesse, but I want you all to know that it's been one of the very few times in my life, and I'd like to note I have grown up in the church my whole life, that I heard someone talk about Jesus, and I truly knew and believed that their heart grieved for those that had not experienced Jesus like she has. And everything she talked about was not just for those that knew Jesus, but for those that did not. So when Jesse says that her hope is to show you how to live with passion, really follow Jesus, and to ignite the world around you, she means it. Jesse, will you share a little bit about your story and what has brought you to this place of being all in, sharing what you refer to as the real Jesus?
Yeah, gosh, I got emotional as you're even just talking about it. I grew up in the church. I grew up in a Christian home. My mom raised me as a single mom. She came from a really abusive family, and she ended up actually getting saved when she was pregnant with me. And her life got radically changed. We grew up in a vineyard church, and it was amazing, a lot of Holy Spirit. And honestly, like, I loved going to church as a little kid. I got to go to the Toronto revival when I was 7 years old. Mm-hmm. And we would see miracles happen all the time. And my mom really grew me up, like, listening to worship music in the house and studying the Bible. And then when I was in about fifth grade, we moved. And when we moved into this new town, there were really no churches around. And we ended up just going to the closest church we could find. And I hate to use this language, but it's the best language I can find for it. But the church was kind of just very stale, very apathetic when it came to their faith. There was no mention ever about the Holy Spirit. And honestly, it just was kind of boring. And so from fifth grade to my college years, I went to this church every single Sunday with my family. And my mom had such a strong faith. And I really feel like in those developmental years for me, my faith just started to just wither away. And going into middle school and high school, obviously there's a lot of pressure to fit in. And Christianity was like not a cool thing at all where I grew up. And the Christians that were in my church and part of the youth group were kind of like the outcasts. They were kind of socially weird. And honestly, their lives were kind of boring too. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, gosh, I know God's real. I never struggled with that. I knew that God was real. I knew that everything in the universe, all the beauty you see around you, that's not a coincidence. But in regards to a personal relationship with God, there was none anymore at that point. So briefly, I'll share that I went to college. I went to University of Miami. I studied English literature and journalism, and just kind of like fully went, like, I guess I could say, all in for the ways of the world. So I joined a sorority. I started working in the nightclub industry. Was working as a doorman in Miami, got hired to work for a nightclub company in New York City, working with celebrities and high profile events, started dating a multimillionaire, taking first class flights around the world. My big goals were to get more Louis Vuitton luggage. And Really, like at the age of 21, I accomplished all those things. And yet I had so much depression, so much anxiety, like wild suicidal thoughts. Every day I would think about running into traffic in New York City and just taking my life. And honestly, at just kind of an ending point, and I share the whole story in my book, Wildfires, but kind of like I say this was like the end of my life or that life that I was living. I just couldn't keep trying to manage a life anymore with depression, anxiety, and yet having all the things that the world says would make you happy. And it wasn't working. And I cried out to God in my room, and I'll just never like forget this moment, but I cried out to God, and I just said, Jesus, like, if you're real, like if you're really real, like you have to take this pain away. And as I was like crying out, it's so weird to explain it like this, but literally like the presence of God just came into my room. And in New York City, outside my window, went silent. Like the cars, I couldn't hear the cars. I couldn't hear any of the noise. And I honestly felt the fear of God, where I was like, whatever is happening right now, this is a holy moment. And I could feel like I am not worthy to like be in the presence of this holy God. And I threw my comforter over my head. And I was so afraid because I was like, I literally was like, God is so real. And I just don't know, like, if I'm prepared to see God. And I tried to cry and I couldn't cry. I just felt peace and went to sleep. And I woke up the next morning and all I kept thinking was, whoa, God is way more real than I had any idea. And then I started thinking as I was walking to work, I was like, gosh, like if you can actually have a relationship with God and really know like the creator of the universe, and if the things we talk about in church, like if those things are actually real, like what else am I giving my attention to? Like this is obviously the most important pursuit of my entire existence. And so I did what any normal person does, and I sold everything I had. I quit my job. I bought a backpack, and I lived as a missionary overseas for a year just to kind of search out like who this real Jesus is. So that's kind of like what started me on this like really crazy path that I've been on for 13 years now. And I just feel like I'm getting deeper and deeper in the more I go on this journey.
Well, and I think it kind of fits perfectly in the next thing I want to talk to you about, because I've been thinking a lot about how we can only share what we truly know. So whether it's our experience in business or art, parenting, marriage, friendship, home, or whatever, it is only because we figured something out, found our way through, or know what it can be that motivates us to share it with others. So it's the experience of it all that drives us to want others to know what it can be for them too. So when you have experience in something, there's just this confidence to share it. And with that experience, that often brings others around you that see that experience, that have the willingness to listen to what has made the difference in your life. So experience changes everything. So why do you think, though, people can sometimes be quiet about sharing their experiences when it comes to Jesus and their faith sometimes? And I have an answer for this, but I only want the Jesse Green answer. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I actually feel like there's a myriad of reasons. And what you're actually discussing is one of like the biggest, I guess, questions that I love to search out myself. So I love that you're asking me this, because from my research, There are lots of different reasons. So actually, one of the biggest reasons why I'm so passionate about revival is because you can only revive something that's already lived before. According to Romans 8, like when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you get that death to life transition, right? So I love revival. And the reason why I'm kind of all in for revival right now is because I think a lot of people have had that experience, but maybe it's been a really long time. And we don't realize sometimes that every single day we're being influenced by things in the world. Every scroll on social media, every show that you watch, every trip to the grocery store, like the world is convincing you of something. And I honestly think that we need revival in our nation. We need revival in our own personal lives because we need to be reawakened to that experience that Jesus is really real, that he deserves our attention, that he deserves our pursuit. And we need new stories that are worth sharing. Like sometimes it gets kind of boring to tell people the same old story of the one time God did something in your life. But I saw a massive revival on the beaches of California in 2020. But I always say, like, I don't want that to be my best story. Like, I want my best story to be what happened last week. Mm-hmm. I want my best story to be about what God's going to do next month. Mm-hmm. And so I just don't want to ever get stuck. And I want to always be constantly positioning myself to experience what God's doing today, right now, and not maybe a month, a year, 10 years ago. And so I think it's really important for people to have those fresh experiences, those fresh encounters with God to motivate them to keep sharing their faith because it's happening right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really good. What idea of Jesus do you think people know? And what Jesus do you know?
Yeah. So I have on my like Instagram bio that I love to show people the real Jesus. And honestly, I say that because every time I go minister somewhere, it's so just insane the ideas that we construct about who God is, about who Jesus is. And then honestly, just with social media, just how much bad theology is out there. And we just, a lot of times, will fit Jesus into this little box of who we think he is and how he fits into our personal lives. And honestly, that is why it's so important to be full of the Holy Spirit, to read the Word of God, and to be around other believers. Because honestly, like I woke up this morning, was reading Romans 8, and I went into the gym where in our garage, and I just processed with Parker more discovery, fresh revelation than I got this morning. Mm-hmm. And I'm discovering new things about Jesus today. As I'm reading scripture, I'm wrestling with things where I'm asking Parker, like, do you think that you can have eternal salvation and not be full of the Holy Spirit? Like, what does this look like? What's available? And I think that what I'm realizing about Jesus, the Jesus I'm following now, is that there's always more to discover. Mm-hmm. And he actually is a person that wants to have a relationship with us. And through the Holy Spirit, we can discover new things about him every single day. And the coolest thing is, like, he takes us each on our own individual journey, where like the things that God's talking to me about are so different than the things that he's talking to Parker about. And then in our covenant with one another, we can actually share on that revelation and build on that, which then makes us closer relationally, and then also makes us closer to Jesus. And so it's really cool, like the intimacy that like the relationship with Jesus creates with one another and with him. And it's like this explosion of discovery, I guess you could say.
Well, and what I want too to note is that you've been rereading Romans 8 again and again and again. So I think too, I think sometimes you might read something, maybe not understand it, and it's not a one and done, and then you move on. What I love is that you're saying, and so in while you're saying that, it also reminds me, like common sense-wise, if we think about it in lots of other ways, and so a lot of artists are going to be listening to this, I would never pick up a new medium and just try it one time and there's something good there, but I don't practice more, or I don't see how I could use it in my work, or right. Why would we think we just read something once if it doesn't, you know, I love that
totally.
You're just,
it's so weird.
And so I love that you're like, okay, Romans 8, this is where like right now I'm like going all in on this. And even the other day you're like still here and I'm still like diving in because I'm still, the Lord's revealing more.
Right.
And so you are literally right. And I love that then you're going to go into the gym, which gives you time to process.
Yeah.
You're not being distracted. You literally right. have that time to also, you know, to also process. But I love that you stay and reread again. And I know you ask, okay, what else is here? What am I missing? What do you want to say to me?
Yeah, there's a really great prophet in California that we connected with years ago. And he once gave me this prophetic word. This is long before I studied the Bible in this way. And he said to me, he goes, you know, Jesse, I really believe that the Holy Spirit wants to like help you become like a self-taught theologian. And I was like, what does that mean? But like, I was like, that's so weird. And he was like, I really feel like if you just start inviting the Holy Spirit to teach you while you study, like just write down everything you're studying, God will reveal mysteries to you. Mm. And I was like, okay, cool. That sounds like kind of fun, right? And so I got like a really beautiful journal and I just started to do a thing where before I would start to read the Bible, I would just say, Holy Spirit, like, I believe that you can teach me because that's what the scripture says. And so right now, just, I invite you, like, if there's anything that I need to pay attention to, just show it to me. And Jean, it's like the same exact thing with art. It's like, you walk down the street, you walk to the beach, your eyes are open, you're
everywhere.
Paying attention, you're looking for inspiration, right? Mm-hmm. So you may read, like, let's take Romans 8 and read it through one time and maybe nothing kind of pops out. But if something does, what I'll do is I'll just write down like this seems important, or I'll literally write questions like, why does it say this? Like, that's so random or weird. Mm-hmm. And then what I'll do is throughout the day, I'll just meditate on it and I'll just ask God, like, when it says that, like, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is like in us and dwells in us and gives us life. Like, what does that life mean? Like, how do I know if I'm actually living that life? And I'll start to just ponder on it. And it's the same thing with art. It's like, maybe you put some things down. Like when I did the workshop with you, you know, put a few pieces on, do a few like different scribbles and some charcoal, and then maybe just leave it for a moment.
Yeah. Walk away, walk away. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And come back. I think if you approach scripture the exact same way, you'll be like, whoa, there's actually like a lot here.
Yeah. Or I didn't get it. Sometimes you can think something's not good in your art but you stop and you walk away and you come back and you're like, I saw something here that I didn't see before. And now I know a new direction to take it. No, it's so like, so good. Your husband Parker shared something the other day that I literally have not stopped thinking about. And so first,
I can't wait to hear.
Yeah, you two are such a powerful team. I just love you guys. But he said, avoid everything that has a numbing effect. If you are having a hard time hearing from the Lord, having a hard time focusing your brain, and it is on scramble and everything seems foggy, avoid anything that you are using in order to help you stop feeling. Get your discernment back. Hear clearly from the Lord. Focus on what you're supposed to be focused on. So like he ends it with, avoid anything in your life that is used for a numbing effect. Pay attention. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And you're like, whoa, like, yeah, right. You're just like, and the thing is, because he said it in collaboration and like in saying like, do you want to hear from the Lord? Do you want to have discernment? Do you feel like you're not feeling like you are hearing as much? What are you doing that you are numbing, like, to not feel? Because that is actually keeping you from discernment. So what do you think? Because we are bombarded. There's things everywhere. No, that numbing effect could be different. It's going to be different for every single person listening.
Absolutely.
What do you know that this numbing is keeping us from?
Everything that literally it's like, I keep referring Romans, but like Romans 6, it talks about basically being a slave to righteousness or a slave to sin and the world. And I think what we don't realize is, like Parker shared on his reel, that when you're constantly numbing yourself, you don't realize that you're actually, okay, I'm going to just go there with this, but you're actually enslaving yourself to the world. And you're actually putting a wall up from receiving the actual life that you want.
Yeah.
And so it feels like it's helping, but what it's actually doing is robbing you from that life. And something that we say all the time in our family is like, so many of the miracles, healing, super, you know, honestly, even just peace, right? Mm. All of that comes from breaking past your comfort. And I think one of the, like, honestly, I think a lot of people talk about like spiritual warfare and what's happening in government and all these crazy things that are robbing us of revival and God moving. I honestly believe that the number one thing that's honestly destroying our generation and the generations like coming up is apathy. Mm-hmm. It's numbness. We're more prescribed than any generation before. We literally do everything in our power to avoid pain. And honestly, like, I am a pain avoider. Like, who wants to go through pain, right? It's like I'm like, when people do natural childbirths, even I'm like, it's kind of crazy. Like, why would you do that if you can get an epidural and avoid the pain, right? And we have honestly built everything in our lives to avoid discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we've realized that the ramifications of that are actually like wreaking havoc on us experiencing supernatural life.
Mm.
And so it's funny because I am not someone that likes pain, but honestly, and Parker's so good at this, and that's where I'm so thankful for our marriage. And honestly, the voice that he brings to this generation, because Parker actually is very good at embracing pain for the sake of spiritual reformation and the disciplines that it creates. So stuff like solitude, silence, prayer, fasting, who wants to not eat food, right? But if you realize, like, no, you're not focused on the price tag, but you're focused on the fruit that you're going to get at the end of that. So you fast and you sacrifice food, but you get the ability to hear God better. You experience his presence more and you focus on what the benefits are, you know, like working out. I hate working out. I hate exercising. I don't like eating keto. I want to have cookies and cake every day. But you know what? I also don't want to be 400 pounds and struggle when I have to go on a ministry trip. And I want to have energy and run around with my kids. And I want to be able to be here till I'm 110 years old, you know? And so I have to pay prices now for the things that I want.
Mm-hmm.
And I think every single one of us can think about areas of their life where, and I know for me, there's 100, right? Where I'm still trying to avoid pain. I'm still trying to create comfort, but I'm actually not getting the fruit that I say with my mouth that I want. And I need to change my actions to line up with that.
Yeah. No, so good, Jesse. I think kind of this goes perfectly into what I want to talk to you about next too. So how often do we see others really walking out their gifts? Beautiful opportunities are unfolding. They have clear direction, even if they only have that next step in front of them. There's favor on them in their business or authority. There's clearly wisdom in what they're sharing. Goodness is coming from their life. And others see this and they want this too, right? So there is an overflowing on their life, but it comes from work and sacrifice, prayer and intention, everything we were just talking about. Yeah. But others don't always see that or know it. And I 100% believe that we each have been given these gifts to be used specifically in beautiful and purposeful ways. We just have to not want what others have and to want what the Lord has given us individually. So how have you learned to pray, ask, discern, have your hands and heart open for what is yours and to walk boldly or shaking all the way into the places the Lord is leading you?
I love this question because this is probably the thing that I get the most messages about through emails or DMs. And people are saying, you know, I feel called to be a revivalist, or, you know, I feel like I'm a prophet. How do I walk this out? Or God's calling me to media, or all these different things, right? And even like for Parker and I's lives, looking on social media, it can almost seem like things just suddenly happened, right? This suddenly moment, all of a sudden, no one knew who we were. We're like running house churches in California. And then all of a sudden, revival breaks out summer 2020. And after that, I get a book deal. I'm on all of these news media shows. Like, our following explodes. We have this ministry now. And it's like, whoa, all of a sudden, just favor fell on you. But what they don't realize is there was 12 years before that of praying, obeying God, sacrificing. And what's so funny is I love that you're asking this question, because I know for Parker and I, when we were living in New York City, we were constantly doing like that linear comparison that everyone does, right? And we were doing it in ministry. I had a creative agency. I was doing it in the business world. And we're comparing ourselves with other people that we think are doing similar things, right? And it's almost like part of human nature to do it. You're like, this person's crushing it, so I got to do it the way they're doing it. Mm-hmm. And like, that must be the roadmap to success. And I remember just feeling like Parker and I kept always falling flat, like it just wasn't working. And I felt frustrated all the time. And I remember thinking at that point, my biggest goal was like, I want to be like a women's conference speaker. Like, that's how I'll know like I made it, like preaching at women's conferences. And I just remember one day the Lord just asking me this question. And it's a question I ask every person that I disciple. And it was a really simple one. I was just reading my Bible and he just said to me, he goes, what do you look like fully alive? And I share about this in my book because honestly, it was the first time that I stopped doing linear comparison. Mm-hmm. And I just spent time with the Holy Spirit, actually figuring out who the heck I was.
Right.
And I was like, I literally said, I was like, I don't actually know. And all of my goals are not focused on Jesse fully alive. They're like Jesse looking like another female preacher, because yeah, that's so what I good. Think is success.
Yeah, good, good.
And yeah. All of a sudden I started seeing pictures literally of myself around campfires and the smell of like burning wood and being outside and the smell of ocean air and baptizing people. And I was like, and literally something in me ignited, and I didn't realize that I was having my first ever vision. And a lot of people talk about like visions of the Lord, but you can actually get vision and ask God to show you who he created you to be. What does that look like? What does it smell like? What does it feel like to be full of God, full of the Holy Spirit? How do you feel when you're living that way? And after I saw that, Gene, I was like, oh no, none of the things in my vision I'm doing.
But also, none of those things when I asked what I look like fully alive are anything like what I was pursuing.
Absolutely.
So which literally instantly cut you off from like pursuing something that was not for you at all, that allowed that total life and brain and spiritual shift completely to be like, okay, like this isn't in my life. Like now I have I have a little more of a map, right?
Absolutely. And I just started to like every day just jot more. And in the shower, I'd be like, God, show me more.
Yeah.
Like, show me more. Like, who am I? And not, I know we can get really caught up in personality tests and all of that, but it says in Ephesians, one of my favorite verses, it says, it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we were created to do long before we ever had any plans. And
everybody wants that, Jesse. Every single person I've ever talked to, ever, they want to know who are they and how can they be used and what is their purpose. No matter what their belief is, no matter if you're listening to this and you believe in Jesus or not, like every person I know, no matter what their belief system is, they want to know why they're here and what, how they can use how they've been made to impact those around them. And I love that really as simple as like, Lord, what do I look like fully alive? Show me. I want to see what you have for me.
And the challenge is this. So there is like a caveat to it. I almost feel like there's a warning label.
Of course. Yeah. Be prepared.
So, yeah. Cause you mentioned like, so it comes with work, sacrifice, prayer, intentionality. Yeah. Right. And so we were like, I was running a successful creative agency in New York, making six figures. My husband was a full-time pastor, part of a large church in New York. We were making great income, full-time benefits, living in a luxury apartment. And I wanted so badly to live fully alive, more than I wanted, again, what the world was convincing me of success. Mm-hmm. So again, that's almost that like tear of Romans 8, of that worldly pursuit, even in Christianity and ministry, it can still be rooted in what the world is telling you versus what life in the spirit is offering you, which might look totally different. Mm-hmm. And I remember praying with Parker and asking like, what's the next steps? And for us, we started getting visions and prophetic words about moving in California. And for us, we had to lay down everything. And I just remember like it was horrible. Like that first year of moving to California, we were broke. I'm talking about like praying and interceding to buy like pizza and like really struggling financially. We had a brand new baby. It was like really hard, and going out on the street, sharing the gospel. And like, it just felt like nothing was working. And that's when we got our family motto, which is we have it like everywhere in our house. And we say it all the time, that obedience is success. Mm. And for us, we started to mark success by, you know, are we doing what God's telling us to do? And do we feel like we're being true to ourselves and true to who God's asked us to be, whether there's a crowd of 1,000, crowd of 100,000 or 5 people? Every single day, are we living the lives that God wants us to live? And I think so many people now, everyone wants like the end result, right? Like everyone wants a 6-pack, and like, I'm always using out the working out stuff, cause for me, that's like the hardest thing. Right. And we want the end result of miracles and supernatural living. And we want to be able to have art workshops and write books and all these things, but yet we won't wake up early. We won't spend time with God. Like one of the biggest questions I ask people, and people literally freak out on me at our events, is they'll say, you know, I want to lead revival, blah, blah, blah. And I'll say, okay, really be honest with me. In the last week, like, what does it look like when you're like your secret place time? Like how many hours are you spending in God's presence? What does it look like when you're studying the word? And they're like, oh, you know, it's been kind of a struggle. And I'm like, that's okay. Like we all have those seasons, right? But here's the thing, like if you're aiming at revival and you're not focused on spending time with God, your aim is wrong and you're focused on the wrong thing. And so a lot of times we're focused again on that end result, which you learn about that in the business world, like where are you going to be in 10 years? But yet we're not thinking about like, okay, this week, like maybe this week I need to just go to bed early and drink more water. and maybe like have a date night with my spouse and get my, like make my bed and get my life in order a little bit. And we don't do those things. And yet we think like, I'm definitely going to lead like 1 million people to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And you're like, you don't even like clean your house.
Oh, well, Romans 12, this is in the Message translation, says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out, readily recognize what He wants from you, and quickly respond to it. So how, which literally goes along with everything yeah. we've been talking about, right?
Yes.
So how did this offering of your life look when you first became a Christian? And how does it look now? Because you're someone that I believe tenderly takes people by the hand and leads them into real relationship with Christ. And how would you encourage others today to make their day-to-day life an offering? So that was a lot right there. So you're probably like, can yeah. we unpack that a little bit? But
no,
you can start
so
any way you want.
Yeah, I actually right now I'm in the midst of like writing this message called The Ascended Life. And it's something I've just been really meditating on the last like month and a half through like First and Second Kings and Proverbs 15 and Romans 8 and John 15. There's like this thread that I'm really seeing. And so this question like literally like pulsates on what I've been thinking about day in and day out. And because that's exactly it. I think what you can do is this. I've just started this activity. So this is like fresh. but I would almost like draw a grid, right? And just maybe draw a line on a piece of paper. And on one point, maybe write like what your life looks like if you're like fully pursuing the world. So maybe like if you're living like the life that's not what God wants you to live, maybe like your lowest point of your life so far, you can maybe put that on like the left side of the scale, right? And then all the way on the right, like talk about that part of you that looks fully alive. So what does it look like for you to live like maybe truly fully who the Holy Spirit is calling you to be? What would it look like to, you know, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons? What would it look like to see revival in your family, in your city? You know, what would your personal finances look like? What would generosity look like in your life? Like write down some of those things, right? And then what you could do is just ask the Holy Spirit and say, where am I currently like on this grid? So I've recently been just kind of meditating on this thought that I actually think every single day we're actually either spiraling heavenward or we're spiraling towards the things of this world and worldliness. And every single day there's situations that happen. There are baits that happen. There is linear comparison. There's movies that we watch. There's supernatural experiences. There's events that we go to. There's workshops we attend. And both, all of those things are bringing us either downward or upward, right? And I believe that we can actually, I've been just thinking about this and I've been practicing it and it's really working. Every single day we could ask the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, how do I spiral a little bit more upward today? Mm-hmm. What's an opportunity to maybe step out in faith? What's something that I can read that will inspire me? What's something that I can attend? Like, I know that we host events, but the reason why we host these events, why we spend literally hundreds of thousands of dollars to orchestrate these experiences for people is I believe that we can move them down that needle, maybe 10 steps, you know, and for one person, you know, if that's maybe a prostitute that's full of demons, maybe their one step is getting set free and getting baptized. And that's like the big step for them. And maybe for someone that, you know, I'm just thinking of something like, is thriving in their business, is living fully alive, is doing workshops and selling out. And it feels like they're like really connected to God and things are growing great. Maybe a step for them is like increasing their ability to hear from God in a different way. Mm-hmm. And maybe that means buying a book about like a different way to hear from God. Maybe it's about like learning about dreams and going on a journey. Like one of the girls I disciple, she really is like, you know, I don't have dreams and that's something that I want. Mm-hmm. So she's on this journey right now of studying about dreams and how God speaks to people through dreams and the theology of that. And that's like her journey right now of ascending and allowing Holy Spirit to occupy more of her life. And so that looks different for all of us. But I think that's where that Romans 12, taking every single part, you're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, every part of your life, you're like saying, okay, God, how can I get this part of my life to ascend versus, you know, I don't want my life in a year to look like, you know, I'm not sleeping, I'm eating terribly, I'm tired all the time, and it feels like I'm binging on Netflix, I'm constantly numbing myself. And I could ask any person listening to this right now, in the last year, does it feel like your life is ascending or descending? In the last month, you know, because we have people come to our revival events and they're like, I see all the time people, I watch them on social media, watching people ascend or watching people descend. And I think that we have that choice every single day.
All right. I'm going to close with one last question. And it's a, I love to close every podcast with this because I get to talk to people doing things that are so made for them. So it's, but it's, so what it's always fun to hear is if you were not this thing, right? It is. So what would you be? And everybody has like just really great answers too. So I can't imagine you doing anything else, but if you were not a revivalist and an author, what would your alternative career choice be?
Yeah, that's a really hard question because I tell Parker probably every time we have a date night, I actually just cry because I feel so thankful to be one of those lucky people that I feel like I'm fully doing like what I was put on the earth to do. And I, like when I see my life 12 years ago and how much it was just full of death and anxiety and being able to pray for people and see them walk in freedom, like, and be able to be paid to tell people about Jesus. I'm like, I literally have like the best job ever. But I do feel like sometimes I'm like, I think I would love, and that's why I admire you so much and why I feel such a deep connection with you and love you so much. And I'm like, I feel like I would just create these beautiful creative experiences and creative workshops. And like, I told Parker, I'm like, I love Jean because she lives like the other side of me where, and that's why I can't wait to come to one of your workshops, but, and why I loved having you there at the camp meeting. Because I'm like, gosh, I love sharing like great food with people. And I'm like, I want to like do a champagne toast in a rose garden in like the countryside of England and be like, okay, everyone, like take out your journals and like, let's sit on a picnic blanket and just discover beauty.
And so the thing is, I actually think that you are going to have a good, I think there's going to be more of that coming, like, you know, too. I think you're in some really big building stages of what you're doing. And because I totally see that in your heart and in who you are. And so I believe 100% that there is going to be more of that, like as you move forward, because there'll be room for it.
I believe that totally. Yeah. And that's where I'm very much like in a learning position too. That's why it was so important to have you come. And I saw that you were interviewing, I think today, Timothy Willard as well.
Yes.
And so like, I just got his book, like The Beauty Chasers. And again, okay, like talking about the ascended life, like for me, my upward spiral right now where the Holy Spirit is leading me is into like exploring creativity. And it's a priority for me. And again, like you said, with the sacrifice and all of that, it's like, I have to say no to some podcast interviews so that I can have time like to create. And I have to say, honestly, I have to say no to things financially so I can save up money to do things that like inspire me, you know? And I think that people don't realize that those things in life, they don't just come about. You have to put it in your calendar. You have to set finances aside, learn from people that are doing it, connect with them. And I think now more than ever, we have so many resources available to us, and there's so little excuse to not be inspired, you know, mm-hmm. not do things really practically speaking. And so I love that. I'm excited about that journey though. And I definitely think I can feel it in the horizon. So I'm ready to see what God's going to do.
No, it'll be really exciting to see it. So would you please tell our listeners where they can purchase your book? And then you're working on your next book right now. Yes. Sign up for a live training or learn more about what you guys are currently doing.
Yeah. So if you go to jessiegreen.com, and there's no E's at the end. So just Jesse with an I and Green with an N, jessiegreen.com, the books are available there. And my new book actually comes out, I think, in January. I think they had to push the deadline from December because I was a little late turning my manuscript. But that book is called Saturate. And I have like poured my heart into that book. It's all about revival and renaissance and reformation. And Jean actually wrote a guest chapter, which I'm very excited about. But just kind of shares about what the Lord is doing and what he's going to be doing. And that will be out soon. So you can sign up for updates on that. And then we do monthly live trainings. So if you go to saturateglobal.com, we have an ambassador program where we do monthly live calls. And then we host events all the time. We're actually going to start doing a lot more events, all different kinds of events. So this is where I'm excited creatively. Mm-hmm. But we have all different kinds of things. We have camp meetings. We're going to New York City next month and doing a gospel raid on the streets. I'm wanting to do a banquet for women. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of on the horizon. So all of that's on saturateglobal.com. And then this January, we're launching our first training center in person, and that's called The Commission. And I'm so excited for that. That is like Parker's baby, because honestly, the revival events is kind of like more my like heart cry. Parker is a trainer. He's a builder. He is like, his theology is so good. And he spends like 2 hours a day studying scripture. And he is just a really good builder and trainer. So we'll have two programs available there, and that's all in person. And we'll be hosting those in North Carolina starting in January. And I think there's only like 50 spots available for that. And it's very much hands-on, like, how do you actually heal the sick? How do you actually cast out demons? How do you practice spiritual disciplines? All those things that we discussed earlier, for 6 months, basically, it's like a boot camp of how to actually live the life that that works, the Christian life that works. So I'm really excited for that.
Oh, Jesse, thanks for just being here today, for sharing so openly and to being so transparent. That's one of the things that I love so much about you and your vulnerability. And there's just a gentleness in you doing really big things. And I think that's why you've been favored so well too. I think that is very impactful to people. And like I said, that's how I see you. I see you like literally in my mind, I visualize you just kind of almost getting on your knees next to somebody, putting your arms around them, taking their hand. There's just gentleness in you. And so thank you for talking about a lot of really big kind of hard things sometimes, but you do it in a way that is just full of love. So thank you.
Thank you, Jean. Love you.
Love you.
Just thank you for having me be a part of this podcast.
I created a free resource and mini workbook just for you. 10 tips to take back the peace for a more beautiful life. A free ebook if you're looking for some rest in your day-to-day like I was. Go to jeanoliver.com/10tips to get your free resource. Creativity is calling. Become the artist you have dreamed to be. After the podcast, meet me over at jeanoliver.com where you will find art, business, and lifestyle online courses. We have over 150 courses from teachers around the world. Thank you for joining me this week. Don't forget to let us know what you thought of this week's podcast and make sure you never miss an episode by subscribing. Thanks for listening and see you next time.